Let's open our Bibles, if we may, to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. What's happening here is we're saying, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The whole purpose is the fact that of what he's done for us, the actual word that became flesh and walked among us, gave us that truth, gave us that wisdom, and loved us enough that he suffered that cross, whereby when you fall short, you can repent. It's erased. It didn't happen. That's the beauty of Christianity. Why I want to start here in this second chapter of Hebrews is because when he said, let us create man in our image, that's plural. Elohim in the Hebrew tongue, meaning father and his children. In other words, God included himself. Now, living in these flesh bodies, there you can have some trials and you can have some tribulations. Do you think God would ask you to do that without doing it himself? He didn't. Because when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. That's why when he said, let us create man in our image, he included himself. And he said, this woman will conceive in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. You will call him Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. My point being is he came in the flesh also. Only when we mess up, he did it perfect. He did not sin. And in that became the perfect sacrifice that for one and all times, sin could be forgiven. And he gives us the reason he did this in these remaining verses. Well, I'm going to pick it up with verse 10. He gave us the reason he came to this earth. There was a purpose. And it was a carryover from the first earth age, quite frankly. Let's pick it up in verse 10, chapter 2, the great book of Hebrews. Hebrews being Eber, those people that crossed the river and migrated all over the world. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He was the captain of our salvation. Why? There is no other Savior. There's only one Savior, and you've got to look to him, because in him, that's the door, and there is no other door. He spoke, our Father did, and nothing became everything. He can just as easily speak, and somebody can become nothing. So that's why you want to love him, cherish him. He will never ask you to do something he hasn't done himself. That's what this is all about. That's the beauty of our Father. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed of you. And even though he is Father with us, he's not ashamed to call you a brother or a sister. You're family, and he appreciates that. That's why he came here, was to pave the way, to make a path that we can follow. It's kind of a rough path sometimes, but he takes the slack out of it by repentance. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Do you know what that verse is quoted from? Psalms 22:22. That's Christ's words on the cross. As he hung there on that cross, he taught that total Psalms 22. And he explained why he was doing it, so that that word of his paying the price could be taught to the church for one and all times. And he was not ashamed to do that for us. And he's not ashamed of you to call you brother or sister, because we are one in him. And we continue then with verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, all in one. 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself. Don't you read over that. Just as you became flesh, God himself became flesh. He also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's why he did it, was to destroy the devil himself. You might say, well, why would he go through all that to destroy the devil? My friends, the devil was his child also before he fell. I mean, what does it take to kill one of your own children? He has feelings also. So when the devil would cause the Kenites to say, crucify him, then they brought him to that place. So he has no problem at the end of the millennium to tell Satan to take a hike into the lake of fire. Okay. In other words, you did it to me. I can now do it to you, and it's fair and square. God is always that way. That's why Christ came here, was to win back the children that are possible, that will win back, from the first earth age that followed Satan, and at the same time to destroy the devil, who is death. And many places where it's really written that you're going to be delivered up to death, it means the devil. For what? For a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this comes to the time where you either stand for something or you stand for nothing. It's not just playing church. This is real, and this is our Father. He did this for us. We are not going to let him down. We are not going to let him down. But he did this to destroy that one whereby in heaven we never have to worry about it again. When we overcome, we have that peace for an eternity. This was Christ's reason on the cross. 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage in the flesh. 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He did not come as a supernatural individual. He was born of a virgin, and he walked the earth. The Word became flesh and walked among us. He was not ashamed to do that. He asked you to do it, to be born in the flesh, giving you a mind whereby you can decide whatever you want to. But you will answer for it on judgment day. You make your own path, and what is written in the book of life about you, you determined it because you lived it. So therefore, it behooves us to love him, respect him for what he has done for us, and to follow him. He could have taken on a supernatural entity, and anything that would have touched him would have bounced. But then that wouldn't be fair to you, because he wanted you to know when your flesh begins to ache and you say, why is this happening to me? That you remember him and know that on that day that he was led to the cross, he didn't say, can we put this off another day? No, he did it for you. He stood for something. He stood for you, that you can have the privilege of choosing him and having life eternal. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He wanted to be like you, to show you how to cut it. that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And he does. That's the beauty of Christianity. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. And you know, they'll try. In some church places, they will say to you, all you divorced people need to get back in the back. They won't really say that, but they might as well. That's what they mean. You know, or you've done this, or no that, or don't touch this, or don't touch that. And they judge people. Okay. When divorce, and I use this as an example, no big deal. It's not the unpardonable sin. Okay. It's nowhere is it written. I'm pretty familiar with the English, with the Hebrew, with the Greek, with the Aramaic. Nowhere is it written that divorce is the unpardonable sin. And if you, it is written that if you repent for any sin you may do, it's erased. It's gone. So don't ever let anyone take that away from you. That's the love of God coming down to you. He paid an awesome price on that cross to have that ability, to have that come to pass. So don't let some ratchet jaw make a mockery out of the crucifixion by saying Christ cannot forgive sin, because Christ does forgive sin, reconciles it, nails it to the cross, and you're a new creature. And so it is. Verse 18 to complete the chapter. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to secure, that means nail down, secure them that are tempted. He can help you. He loves to help you. Talk to him. You know, when you talk, he hears you. Why? Because he loves you. He created you, and you know something? You're different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints even are different. You know why? He wanted somebody just like you. But he does want you to love him. Not only that, he demands it. Because those that do not love him, we won't have to worry about them much longer. They won't be with us. And is that a good thing? Yes, it is. But by the end of the millennium, there will be no one with any excuse for not seeing the full value of loving our Father. That's how fair our Father is. Now, what did Christ say on the cross? When they nailed him, he said to that cross, and as he hung there, he made this statement in Hebrew with a little Aramaic, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And they couldn't figure out what he was talking about. Naturally, being interpreted, it means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ never called our Father God. Always called him Father. So then, one that is a student of God's word should know he's quoting Scripture. He's quoting Psalms 22. Let's go there and let's see why he made those statements on the cross that we should know and that we should hear. This is the message of Passover, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, Christ, our Lord and Savior, became our Passover. Don't you ever let anybody convince you otherwise. You can read it for yourselves. He is our Passover. That's the high Sabbath day of Christianity. It falls on different days of the week. In that week, you have two Sabbaths. But the high Sabbath is ever so important. This is how he became that. He was hanging on that cross, and he was repeating this psalm. Let's see what he said. Psalms 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? This was David's cry. And David, he wanted you to be aware of that. Verse 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. I pray often on all times. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, for our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. He is a deliverer. He always delivers. Don't be left out. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. They were never ashamed. You won't be either. The shame comes from worshiping Satan, the very one that Christ died so he could destroy. But I am a worm, for and no man a reproach of them, and despised of the people. This is the way they treat me, like I'm an old worm used for red dye. That's what it means, like you were dyeing a cloth. 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Do you know that those were the words by a high priest and others that were around while he was hanging on the cross? Do you think man can arrange that? 1,000 years after this was written, have people saying those actual words as Christ hanged from the cross? Man can't arrange that. But God can. And did. That should document the scripture to you that it is true. Verse 9, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. You looked out for me always. God does. You know, there's not a person in this room that hasn't had some incident in their life that it just, some like a great hand, just caused everything to move whereby you were spared. That's God's hand. It happens. He looks out for his own. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. That's the way it is with the elect. Well, why from that? Because they were chosen in the first earth age. They earned it, not given away free. For selfish reasons? No, so they could help others. So that they could take that word and share it. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Every disciple deserted him. St. John, he sent away to protect his mother. The rest fled. You are not going to do that when it comes time to witness before the false Messiah. You are not going to. You're going to make a stand, and you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan, which have beset me around. It was known for this very thing. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. Against Christ as he hung on the cross, mocking him, ridiculing him. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. And they're out of joint because he was nailed to that cross and his very weight pulling his arms from joint. He did that for you so that you could have that forgiveness, that repentance, so he could secure, nail down your salvation. He paid that price. And he did it for you. Why? He loves you. But he does want that love returned. And verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, like an old dry broken piece of pottery. My mouth is so dry. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Just barely hanging on. For dogs, and this is enemies, have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They nailed him to that cross. 1,000 years this was written before the fact. Think about it. I may tell all my bones that they look and stare upon me. 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. The Roman soldiers were gambling for his clothing at the foot of the cross. I'll put it to you again. How many people a thousand years before the fact could have this come to pass exactly as it's written. They couldn't. Especially even different peoples. The Romans were in charge at this time, governmentally speaking. So they were not religious people in that respect, and certainly not Christian. Some were, I'll have to say. But they were gambling for his clothing. Why? God said they would a thousand years before the fact. Documenting to you, God's word is true. And when he speaks, so it is. Verse 19. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. And he would. It was Emmanuel, God with us, that was doing this. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, or my soul, better translated, from the power of the dog, from the enemy. That's all the prayer you got to make today to have it happen. Pray that you're delivered from the enemy. He can take care of business, okay? Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. Always translate unicorn, wild ox. There is no such word in the Hebrew tongue. I will declare thy name among my brethren in the midst of the congregation, or church, if you would. I will praise thee. This is the verse we quoted from Psalms, from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 22. Okay. 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, that's revere, love. All ye the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. That's why when we come to this table, if you have a problem, you don't have to say it out loud. Ask him, for with his stripes his body took, we get the healing. And we're going to partake of his body. And with the wine, which is his blood, our sins are washed away on repentance. And we repent as a group of God's elect to be ready to partake of this sacred communion, the table of the Lord. And so it is. Why? Because he loves us. Verse 25, let's go with it. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him, that love him. We are a group that do love him, that study his word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and seek truth. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. That's the humble. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Do you want eternal life? Do you want to live in a world that everything is perfect? Temperature is perfect. Everything is protected. You have eternal life without any problems. It is yours for the taking, is to love him and to follow him. And you are one of his, and he is not ashamed to call you sister or brother. Why? He loves you. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. And they shall. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Don't ever forget that. You might say, oh, there's trouble in the world. We've still got a governor. Did you notice yesterday in that message concerning the locust army that God said, that's my army? I use them to shape things up. He's in charge. He's the governor. That's why you want to be under him. That's why you want to stand for him. Because, again, you either stand for something or you stand for nothing. A person that will stand for nothing is no good. Why? They don't care about themselves. And God's elect always not only care about themselves, they care about others. And they're willing to share with compassion the word of God. 29, all they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow themselves before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. You cannot work out your own salvation. Why? We have one Savior. He has secured it. He doesn't need any help in saving people. You can lead people to him, but he's the one that does the saving. Don't ever forget that. Man sometimes bites off a pretty big bite. When Bob saved about 20 people. No, you didn't. Christ did. All you are is a servant. Humbly and meekly accept that and be proud that you were one of the family that could touch and bring that to pass and share with your brethren that beautiful truth. You know something? His last words on the cross were thinking of us today. Listen to it carefully. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. It's a generation of the fig tree. And that generation lives now. We're 42 years into it, basically. We're more so than the 42 years. That's the fifth seal. But how precious it is to live at this time. Because as you've heard me say many times, even the prophets wanted to live today. Great things are going to happen, and you're a part of it. Act like it. He was remembering you. Then what did he say about you? 31, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Now, that last line in the Hebrew is very important. It is the nail that guarantees that he quoted the entire psalm on the cross. Because as it is written in John chapter 19, verse 30, where he would say the words, it is finished, is the same equivalent of hath done this. And he closed the book at that time. And he gave up the spirit and began to preach to those that had died on all the way back to the time of Noah. Always providing salvation to the children. Why? Well, because he loves the children. He considers himself a brethren. And being a brethren, he's not ashamed to call you brethren, sister, and family. So at this time, we do ask the ushers to come forward, please. Don't be shy, just step right up here, men. What a handsome looking lot, huh? Whew. Bless you. They let you out again. Good for you. He's our computer man. I'm teasing him, okay? He's not locked up, okay? We do come to this time, to this table of the Lord. What a time it is. You know, have you got a relative that you really want to hear the word? Then take this communion in proxy for them, you know, as well as yourself. Share and ask the Father. This is a very precious time because he hears, he knows. You don't have to say it out loud. And have you got a healing? You need some help physically? Well, this is his body. It took the stripes. And as you can read in Isaiah 53, you get the healing. Believe. No doubters now. Don't have room for that. Won't put up with it. You read 1,000 years before the fact what happened at that cross. Don't you dare let doubt come in. You believe and let it be. Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time to partake of this table, Father. Let each of these again be a blessing as they go forth from this place, Father, to all those that need that touch. We thank you in the name of Yeshua Messiah.